Mr. Prime Minister, let's talk a little bit. You talked about how the world needs, I guess, to change its priorities and policies. I guess the analogy that you talked about was, you know, we can always park cars, but we can't park our poor. Tell me a little bit about what your thinking is on that.
Well, we can't park hunger is what I've said, and I think that's very, very important for us to reflect on that and then develop policies that diminishes hunger. And what we saw in the last panel was an acceptance of the interdependence of the world community, an acceptance that we have to assist the poorer parts of the world, the 3 billion that are virtually locked out of the world community at the moment, to come up, maybe through infrastructure-type grants. Smart subsidies was a term used. Most in this Congress disagree with subsidies per se, certainly producer subsidies, but that might be something we should look at. We should also look at some of the environmental pressures that are going to come on to agriculture as well. But fundamentally, if we are going to have a world economy moving smoothly, we need to have the 3 billion on the bottom having the income to buy the goods produced by others. The rich cannot continue to buy surplus goods just to keep the world economy going. The 3 billion additional consumers are there waiting to be tapped if we're smart enough as a world, if our governments collectively are smart enough to give them the opportunity to enter the world community.
That seems to be the rub, though, being able to get the policies in place to be able to do that. How do we overcome some of the objections that are out there to being able to put these policies in place?
We've got to be, we're going to be reliant on courageous politicians who tell some of their local constituencies that we have a bigger job to do than just respond every time to them. I think President Obama said in some commencement address yesterday that we have to learn to live together. And that's the profound message, because if we just lock so many into hunger, they're going to get more and more angry. And that's inevitable. Hungry people are angry people, no matter which country they're in. So it is a formidable challenge. But the leadership that's required is going to require great courage to take people through a change in attitude and approach that we have to go through.
Several of the panelists mentioned how to get the markets flowing into some of these countries. They have to be stable environments to get it in there. It seems like we've got a bigger problem to solve with getting them to have a political stable environment in some of these developing countries, and then everything else would flow after that. Am I wrong in that?
Chicken and egg. Poor countries will be unstable. I think we've got to start looking at how we lift their level of affluence, well, it's affluence, and lift them out of absolute poverty into modest poverty is a better way, and you'll get more stable societies. I mean, if people are hungry and angry, they're going to have unstable politics, and it's, somewhat naive to sit back and say we can't do anything until they all settle down and behave, because that's not going to happen in that order. We have to, in fact, reach out, lift them up now, and that'll produce much more stable politics. Of course, we want stable environments for investors, but I think there have to be some risks taken at the beginning.
Is a forum like this a good venue to try to get those conversations going?
Tremendous venue, because you bring people in from different perspectives, experiences, regions of the world, levels of understanding of different parts of the world, and here they can come and discuss, have a debate, argue, think about it. Really what I want people leaving the Congress to do, to have thought things through a little differently. Go away with a slightly different idea on the world than when they came in the door.
Mr. Prime Minister, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks a lot.